Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Pharrell on a bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. The bad seed, the broken head, the bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad attitude, bad day, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios in New York City. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. People dressed in plastic bags, direct to traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, stupid. All my friends come around, flash, flash, border, rounds on the west side, peppers down, what a mess, tongue tied, and brains splattered all over Manhattan, shake it up, stupid. Yeah. Ooh, woo, woo. Are you with us tonight from New York? 855-212-4. CBS 4227 to get on the bench. A. Sherrod Blakely will join us from the Boston NBC group. NBC Sports Boston covers the NBA and the Celtics up there in Beantown. We'll talk to A. Sherrod this hour at 40 past. At 11:20 East, 8:20 Vegas time, our boy Joe Micheletti, my favorite, from NBC Sports, covering the NHL. I'm assuming Carver High, the Western Conference Finals. There you go. So, going on right now, the Warriors, who seldom come out to play, are up 9 at the half over the Blazers. Here's the skinny. Right now, in this game, superhero CJ McCollum is 3-for-11. Doink. Dame has 12, Harkless 9. That's when you know you're losing, when Harkless is one of your best scorers, seriously. Hood is back from the knee tweak. He's got 7. They're shooting 32%, and that sucks. 21% from downtown, 3-of-14. Meanwhile, the Warriors, 45% from the floor, 46% from downtown, perfect from the line. Bottom line is, I think Portland's in the game down 9 because of rebounding, and they've certainly not done well. 13 turnovers. One reason they're in it, they only have 4 fouls, 10 for the Warriors, and it is what it is. The Warriors, Curry 19, Thompson 11, Green 8, 7 boards, 3 dimes, 2 steals, and a block. So Draymond Green is always huge in these playoff games. Are you noticing this? Like, every night, the guy's, like, going after, like, a triple-double. Have you noticed that? Like, he's not even a scorer, but the guy always finds a way to have, like, 10 or 12 points, right? Does he not? And then has all these rebounds, and then all of a sudden he's at 8 or 9 dimes and, you know, 3 steals and 2 blocks. I mean, the guy is a menace to society. I mean, you can hate him all you want. He's a badass. That's all there is to it. So up 9, Warriors, Game 1 Western Conference Finals. They were laying 8. 7.5 in a lot of houses, 8 on my books. Hockey, there's hockey, there's hockey, hockey. 2-1 Bruins in the third, half a minute into the final period. They lead in Carolina, nothing's finer. Wagner, Chris Wagner, a household name, 1-0 from Nordstrom and Corrali. And then Brad Marchand, speaking of menace to society, with a power play goal, 2-0 from McAvoy and Krejci. And then Calvin DeHaan from Aho and Justin Falk at 13:48 of the second made it 2-1. So all of the goals in the second. Carver High, you've been watching the hockey game tonight, 2-1. Tell me about it. All in the second period, the scoring. Bruins, do they look good tonight? Do they have a chance to go up 3-0 in this series tonight?
Yeah, they do, but Carolina got what they needed. It was 2-0, and it was starting to look like we were going to get another blowout here, which would have led to the Bruins going up 3-0, and they get the DeHaan goal, and now they're live here. They're down a goal in the third. They're at home. I think if they get the next one, they're going to win this game.
Oh, Carolina?
Yes. If they tie this game at 2, I think that they can win it.
All right, so There you go. 2-1 Bruins, 18:40 left and rolling. The NBA draft lottery went down tonight, and if you haven't heard yet, then you're living in a time warp. Already, Zion Williamson is going to the New Orleans Pelicans at number one. The number two play went to Memphis, and the Knicks, the God-fearing Knicks. I mean, are they not the do they not have the worst luck, honestly, of anyone in the league? I mean, it is unbelievable to me. It really is. I cannot tell you. This is just me. I know you don't like it because everybody hates New York, right? Like, you hate us because we're so much bigger and better than you, right? That's why, I mean, the people hate this city. They do. Anywhere else, they hate New York. Is that not about right? They hate the teams from here and everything else. That's fine. And I'm not a big fan of teams here either. But I do like the Knicks, right? And the Yankees. And I really, I'm a huge basketball fan, right? So for my whole life, they've just been terrible. I mean, they won it when I was five, okay? That's it. That's all they have to show for it, their whole existence. Meanwhile, they're the most profitable team in the league because of the Garden. And because New York's, 10 times bigger than everywhere else, it really is. And what is amazing to me is, I just, no offense to anybody, really. I'm not trying to offend anybody here, but honestly, New Orleans and Memphis, I just cannot believe that they ended up getting the top two plays. I mean, it is what it is. You win. Congratulations. Fantastic. Go line up and get your tickets because... the bottom line is this guy Griffin wins and the Pelicans win because they're going to make so much money off of this guy. Do you understand? Like, they're licking their chops right now. The owner of that team is licking his chops because you know why? His just stock went through the roof, right, tonight? New Orleans has now got Zion Williamson. It doesn't even matter. Bye, Anthony Davis. See you later. We don't need you. Bye. Now they're going to use him to manipulate and make that team even better. They're going to make a trade and make that the most loaded team in basketball. In New Orleans. Get ready. Get your tickets. Hurry up and buy them before the prices go up because they're going up. And when they make a trade for Anthony Davis, that team's going to be playing in the, at least the conference semis. I mean, at least, because they're going to get the house for Davis. The Lakers offered their whole team for him. So
and now they know that it's fourth overall pick, so that enhances what the Lakers were offering.
I think it says a lot that Zion Williamson, did he not say tonight he'd rather play in New York?
Well, look,
did he not say
I watched
that?
It. They brought him up there right after it was announced. I know you were in the car driving.
Right, what did he say?
He basically was like, you could tell he was stunned. He probably sat there when they got the last four. You know, they take their commercial break
right,
when they know the last
right,
four.
Right.
And he saw the Knicks and the Lakers on the board.
Right.
So he's like, I got a 50% shot here. And then on the other side, he saw Memphis and New Orleans.
Oh, God.
So he knew it was 50-50.
And then it went 1-2.
Yeah.
I got to tell you.
He also looked like he wanted nothing to do with it. They ran him out of there.
Right. Now, I'll tell you why. Because no one wants to play there in either city. That's just all there is to it. This is what I'm saying. I don't want to offend anybody because I like New Orleans a lot, and I like Memphis a lot. I've been to both many times. They're great places. Really, they really are fun places. Memphis Street, Beale Street rocks. It's great, right? And New Orleans, Bourbon Street. Are you kidding me? Like, these are great towns. They really are. I have to admit. But they're crappy basketball cities, aren't they? Are they not the crappiest basketball markets? I mean, they really are. Like, no one gives a rat's ass about either one of them ever. And now you can say, oh, well, now they will. Well, now ESPN will and Turner Sports. They'll be setting up shop down there because that's what they're going to do. They're going to run down there. You're going to see the Pelicans on about 40 primetime games. That's what you're going to see. Because do they get enough of him in college on Duke? Every game's on national television, right? Am I wrong? They even show their games on national television when he was injured. Because they want to show him sitting on the bench, picking his nose. So I'm very upset that it happened. And I guess that's the footage of the Pelicans' front office getting him.
That was their ticket team, people that sell their tickets.
Oh, yeah, because they're going to make a fortune.
Right.
And then these two crappy teams get the top two players. It's just unbelievable to me.
Well, look,
how about
I know
this guy gets the job down in New Orleans and gets Zion Williamson. How lucky is this guy? Is he not the same guy that was there when Cleveland got all them picks?
Correct.
That guy, you need to start sleeping with him or something because he's good luck.
I know that at this moment, you're not upset. I mean, you're very upset about the Knicks not getting
one. Not upset.
I know. I'm saying you're very upset.
No
goal.
They're calling no goal. Boston just scored. They're calling no goal. No goal. They score, but no goal. He's waving it up. Anyway,
I know it's hard to look at it this way right now because we thought that – I mean, listen, I said it 1,000 times. I thought the fix was in. We had a lot of fun with that stuff. But I think it could have been a lot worse. They're still third. They're still going to get, if they don't trade it, a really good player. I think after three, it drops off considerably. Look at what happened to the other teams that had the same odds as them. The Cavs, the Suns, the Bulls, they're picking 5, 6, and 7. I mean, they're way down the chain.
That's one way of looking at it.
I mean, I still think, I know that they didn't get one. But
I was really happy when I saw all those other teams like the Cavs and Bulls fall off and Phoenix. I was really happy because I thought then it was inevitable.
Well, the four teams that were left, they had the most odds out of any of those other three by a lot.
And they still didn't get it. So you told me for weeks that it was fixed.
I thought the fix was in,
and that the NBA's crooked and that Silver knows the money's in New York. They got to make the Knicks good again. And what they did was they made teams that, like, literally, you have to admit, no one cares about those teams on the face of the earth. No one. Not even people there. Honestly. I think in New Orleans, it's going to be a hot ticket, right? I think, you know, I'm just going to say it. I think Ja Morant in Memphis will be just like Mike Conley, which will be no one cares. You know what I mean? I mean, no one cares about Mike Conley, and he's a great player, right? Marc Gasol was there, great player. No
Even
one
those years, they were really good.
No one cares.
And, you know, one playoff rounds, nobody cared.
No one cares about the Memphis Grizzlies, ever. They never have. I mean, I hate to say it. I love you, Memphis. It's a great town. That's not my point. My point is I just think he's going to rot there. He'll be a good player. There's no doubt about it. But no one cares. You know, it is what it is, though. You win. We lose. There you go. Congratulations. Have a nice day. 855-212-4227. Later this hour, A. Sherrod Blakely. And Chris Sale strikes out 17 tonight at Fenway. Gets no decision as the bullpen blows the lead.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a way you can save a bunch of money. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. So, obviously, the Pelicans win everything. At the end of the day, they win it all. That's all there is to it. And then they're saying, like, the losers are the Cavs, Suns, and Bulls, and that the Knicks are losers. They're saying the Knicks are losers because they didn't get him, and the dreams of him playing at MSG is done, and they went 17-65. And there you go. They've got nothing.
Well, this
they got nothing to show for it. I don't agree with you with all this. Oh, it's great news. They still are
I didn't
great.
Say it's
I don't,
great.
I don't,
news.
I don't believe
I said it's
it. Because I think
news.
The kid's average. I think he's average. He's no different than Kevin Knox to me. And people can say whatever they want about how. Because remember, they were drooling over this guy. Do you remember they were drooling over him after Summer League? It got even worse. And then when he played in this regular season, he sucked. He's average. That's what this kid is. He's a good shooter. That's it at Duke. He's another one of these Dukey pansies that don't pan out. He's not some tough, rugged dude that can be a badass. He's not. I don't believe he's a – for me, I don't believe he's a franchise changer at all.
Well, then trade the pick.
That's what I say. They need to go get Durant and Kyrie Irving then and make it happen, and Anthony Davis. Make that happen because this isn't reality.
Yeah, but you're not going to get Anthony Davis. Now that Lakers moved up enough to that they're right behind you, they're going to take that four pick and half that team and turn it into Anthony Davis. Now they got a good pick because before you didn't know where it was going to be. Could have been, you know.
So now they get the one and the four.
Yeah. They're going to get one and four probably. Unless they do, you know, some kind of trade with the Celtics or the Celtics give them
like, you don't think there's any Carver High validity to what I'm saying? That, like, this other guy, like, I think he's a good player. Like at Duke.
I think he's a lot better than Kevin Knox. I mean, Kevin Knox was what? What did the Knicks get him last year? Eighth, ninth? Where did they take him in the draft last year?
You can't even deny that they were drooling over this guy.
You're rolling the dice over all these guys anyway. Even Zion. You're rolling the dice. Nobody is a slam dunk.
They're not rolling the dice on Zion Williamson.
Listen, he's the number one pick. We know that, but he's.
They're saying he's generational. Like, he's literally like the most, honestly, the most magnificent player to come into the NBA in a long time. That's it. Since LeBron, who's better than him? Michael Jordan, LeBron, who is better than this guy? The last guy, in my opinion, am I wrong, is Patrick Ewing in 85 when they got him. That's what this is. He's such a stud. He's such a game changer. He blocks shots, dunks, dominates. He's incredible. He's smart. He's humble. He's everything. He's a dream pick. You can't deny he's a great player. No one can deny that.
I didn't say he wasn't a great player. I'm saying he still has to go there and do it.
But you said they're rolling the dice with him?
Everybody you take is rolling the dice. Even especially number one overall. Everybody you take is rolling the dice.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. There's no way that guy is not a great player. We already know he's a great player. He dominated college basketball. Dominated. It was a man against boys. Mafia. Are you serious?
He was a badass, absolutely.
You don't think that guy's going to be a stud in the NBA?
I think it's a great shot, too. We got to see what his skills develop into from here on out, because he's one of those guys that was incredible in college because he could just dominate you physically. There's nothing you could do to stop him. Guy's going to be bigger than the NBA, so now he just needs to take that next level. I think he will. I think he's going to be a badass. It sucks that they didn't get him, but nothing that Whining's going to do about it. You got to move on right now.
Have you ever seen an NBA draft lottery this anticipated in the last 20 years?
I have not.
There you go.
And you know what?
You think they're doing that because they're just having a good night? Or?
Well, I think part of that, too, is also, A, obviously because of him, because how incredible people think he's going to be, but also because of the fact that they changed the odds so much, they changed the system so much that all these teams were in play. As we saw so many teams move up that, you know, Cleveland and Phoenix dropped back like three or four picks past where they should have been record-wise. I mean, the NBA sure as hell proved tonight that you better not tank because it's not worth it, because those teams didn't get what they really wanted, dropping back to like fifth and sixth.
Yeah, changing the odds was a big thing here. I don't forget if it was last year or this year was the first year they did it, where they flattened out that top three and they all had the same odds to get the top pick. I mean, I guess if you want to
none know, of them got
complain
it.
Complain about that? No, none of them got it. So the Knicks were the only one that stayed in the top four.
The Lakers had a 2% chance and they got the fourth pick. Christ's sakes!
All three of them had you know lower odds. They all came. What was New Orleans supposed to be, seventh or eighth, and they moved up to one? So, everybody jumped here a big amount except the Knicks. Knicks slid down technically, too.
There is absolutely no advantage whatsoever, zero, in the NBA of tanking. There's no advantage.
And they wanted to change that, and they have succeeded.
Well, congratulations.
They've succeeded.
What they've done is, I don't think so because of the draft. I think so because teams still do it. Right? They're still tanking, and you know what the result is? They're being punished for it. Bottom line, at the end of the day, they tank, and they didn't get anything out of it. If you're going to tank, you got to at least get something out of it, right? And if you're going to go tank and lose every game and then you still get shafted, then I guess you should just suck forever. Just be terrible forever. I mean, you know what they need to do is, I think they need to give the Lakers more. What they should do is give the L.A. Lakers as much as possible. In fact, give them Anthony Davis and give them, I don't know. You know what I think would be ideal is if Wilt Chamberlain was recreated after, like, a stem cell operation. Maybe they could have him come back from the dead or something. His career's over, right? Start him over again. Have him play there. Magic Johnson, get him to play there again. James Worthy, get Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to play there again. And maybe let Magic coach him and run the franchise and Genie go away. And then give the Lakers a few more top five picks.
Yeah, that's the thing that frustrates me.
How did they get the number four?
That's the thing I think needs to be worked into the system, too, with this, is that they do all these percentages, but it should be like, if you've been in the top five, like, three of the last 5 years,
shouldn't even be allowed.
You're just booted out and have no chance, because you got a team like the Lakers who had, what, 3 of the 4 years, they had number two pick, still sucked. You had Phoenix, who was number one last year, still sucked. You know, if you've been in the top three, you're not allowed back for at least 5 years.
Let me just get this guy, and then we'll get an update. Brad in Cleveland, go ahead.
Hey, Pharrell, how you doing tonight, sir?
I'm miserable.
Well, I'm worse than you because, we suffered through a long winter here in Cleveland, tanking, losing games, losing LeBron, and now the Lakers are sitting higher than we are in this draft.
Listen, how many times did that little runt get the number one pick in Cleveland? How many times?
Probably 4 times.
Okay, thanks. You've had enough fun. Stay out of it.
Since
honestly, I don't even want to hear it.
Since 2003.
Are you kidding me? This guy crying about his team? Are you kidding me?
The Cavs have had first overall 4 times.
Just 4 times you've had the number one pick. 4 times. And you want more? Shut up.
2 worked and 2 didn't.
Shut up. Go root for your Browns. You know, they're going to win the Super Bowl, right? What did OBJ say? 5 Super Bowls? They're going to win at least 5? Go have a sandwich.
And not only does LeBron leapfrog them, but David Griffin, who they got rid of, is now number one.
Oh, God. It's like the worst nightmare ever. It is Cleveland that this guy got the number one. Same guy got another number one. I mean, are the Pelicans going to get the number one pick every year now for the rest of the, how about the rest of the century? Pelicans get the number one pick. Can you believe that another guy, so Davis went there, right, and hated it, just so you know. He lied through his teeth to all of you people. Just let's be clear, because remember he said, I love the people and the food, right? But how quickly did he love the people and food when he had a chance to get out of there? He's like, I'm out of here, and he gave everybody the finger, right? So no one wants to play there. No player in the league wants to play there. And now you're getting another number one. Now you're getting another monster down there to ruin. He'll be miserable in 5 years, too, and he'll be begging to get out of there and want to kill himself. Let's face facts. It's what happens. I mean, it's proof in the pudding. Take a good look at your guy. He doesn't want anything to do with you. But you're going to manipulate that into even more picks. So congratulations. They win. As far as I'm concerned, at the end of the day, they win and everybody else loses. I mean, Memphis, I guess, wins because they get Ja Morant. But speaking of miserable, he'll be get him a therapist, too. When you sign him to his contract, get him a therapist so he can deal with how lonely he's going to be in 4.5 years when he's crying to his mommy on the phone, begging her to get him out of there.
That number two pick's been pretty much cursed the last 10 years, so that might not be a good spot for them, actually.
And remember, they've planted that guy number two automatic, that he's the number two automatic, no questions asked, a superstar. They've pinned him to be a superstar, this kid. This kid out of nowhere. Remember that, too. Remember, you know, oh, he's the greatest player ever because he can dunk. You know what I mean? That's what they're doing. This guy's a human highlight reel in college in a crappy division, dunking on everybody, right? And so now he's going to run the NBA? Good luck. Good luck with that. We'll see how that pans out. He'll need a therapist, and we'll see if he's dunking over all these monsters in the NBA, grown men, because he's like a little... is he not little teeny-weeny legs, teeny-weeny arms, and a little teeny-weeny neck? He's going to get his face snapped. I want to see him dunk on everybody. He's going to go down there. He's going to go in there and post up on Durant, or he's going to take on Cantor, too, huh? Cantor will chop his head off. Good luck. You know, I mean, can you imagine that kid, that little skinny thing going in on Drummond and Blake Griffin? What's going to happen to him? I mean, Jesus, they'll kill him. He'll kill him.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Conference finals all weekend, hoops and hockey. PharrellOnTheBench.com is all over it, hitting games left and right, best picks, best price, bucket day, son, best return, every game, every play, every day. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up. Today, A. Sherrod Blakely is with NBC Sports Boston. He covers the NBA and the Celtics. He's back on the bench. Hey, A. Sherrod, how you been, buddy?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm not doing too well, obviously. I got to tell you, the my soul got ripped out tonight with that lottery. I don't know. You know, because, I mean, honestly, if you can understand, obviously, right, that if you've been sitting here watching the Knicks suck your entire life, and you're a Knicks fan, would it not, like, bother you just a little teeny bit that you ended up with the three instead of the one or the two? I mean, even two, I would have been bummed out. I thought, I didn't think they were going to get it ever, but the fact that they got three, even though everybody's like, oh, it's great, they got RJ Barrett, I feel like I just got kicked in the stones.
Well, I mean, this is a draft that I think, no matter who you talk to, they're all consensus that there's one player that is head and shoulders above anyone and everyone else in the draft, and that's Zion Williamson. And if you have the worst record in the NBA, obviously, what you're feeling is legit. You expect to get that number one pick. But the rules this year were modified so that as an effort to kind of curtail tanking, the teams with the three worst record each had equal opportunity to get the number one pick. And even with that being said, lo and behold, a team like the Pelicans, of all teams, winds up with the number one pick, and they only had a 6% chance of getting the number one overall pick. And believe me, I mean, as disappointing as obviously that was for the Knicks fans, it is an absolute game changer in terms of what happens going forward. Because now, you know, the Pelicans, obviously with Anthony Davis, he is a guy that they're looking at moving, a guy that wants to be traded. And the one chip that most teams thought they could possibly send New Orleans' way to pry Anthony Davis from their hands is already in hand in New Orleans. So it's going to be a very interesting summer to see what happens with Anthony Davis and the Pelicans.
So what do you think will happen to him?
Listen, I think the first thing is that David Griffin is going to do everything he can to convince Anthony Davis to give him a shot. Let's play the season out. You got Zion. You've got Drew Holiday. You've got some decent players around you. It's not like this team totally sucks. But Anthony Davis, I think at the end of the day, I think he still will be moved. It's going to be a massive haul. I think when all said and done, whatever team makes a deal for Anthony Davis, we might be looking at a deal that would be the NBA version of the Herschel Walker deal years, decades ago, where, you know, they got an absolute boatload of assets that obviously set them up to be a championship contender for years to come. I think it's going to be that type of deal that you're going to have to give David Griffin to get Anthony Davis, because, again, there's no rush for him to get a deal done, and he is holding the one card that every team wanted a piece of, knowing that with it you had a legitimate shot of getting Anthony Davis and not having to really gut your roster, per se, to do so.
Well, they're not going to get rid of Zion unless he's stupid. So I think that my question is then, so if you were Griffin and if you were running that team and you had the four with the Lakers and everything that they had offered before, which I'm sure they're willing to go back and have those conversations for the likes of Kuzma and Ingram, et cetera, and the number four, if that deal is on the table, or do you think that they'd be interested in getting R.J. Barrett and that three from the Knicks and like a Knox or something, or, you know, even the big kid in the middle that everybody is so lathered up about with the Knicks, who I, you know, still don't think has done much other than block some shots. Do you think that's more attractive, or even the Celtics, who had interest in him as well? Do you which one's more attractive to you in terms of, probability?
I think right now, if I had to give it a pecking order, I would say Lakers 1, Celtics 2, and the Knicks 3. And here's why. The Lakers have a combination now of a high draft pick in this year's draft, and they've got young guys who've proven themselves to be legit NBA players who are still under rookie contracts. And if you pair those guys up with a Zion Williamson, you're not expecting to win right away. But what you have done is you've started the building block and foundation for a team that has a lot of young talent that's only going to get better over time. And again, you're not going to be killing your cap in the process to do that. I would put the Celtics second because the Celtics have, you know, decent draft picks, not great, but decent ones. But they also have two legit wing guys that the idea of Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Zion Williamson all on the same roster, my goodness. I mean, you've got a team right there. That's your big three for years to come. All three of those guys are going to be in the all-star conversation, I believe, in the next 2, 3, 4 years. And so if that's your core, and those guys, you know, other than Jaylen Brown, who will get an extension, you've got a really good nucleus if you're the Pelicans. When you consider the fact that you just gave away a player like Anthony Davis, and that's what you get in return. And the Knicks, I don't think they're going to have much of a shot now because that number three pick is just not that sexy. And they've got all that cap space, which is great. But I just don't think the Knicks have the picks and the talent to compete with the Lakers and the Celtics for Anthony Davis.
So let me ask you this question. So what do you think of overall of Barrett and do you remember, like, I was saying to these guys earlier in here tonight that, like, the Knicks were drooling over Kevin Knox last year. Everyone was talking about how great he was. You remember in summer league he was dominating, and everybody was like, oh my God, the future is so bright. And then he found out the hard way what it's like playing in the NBA this year. I thought he was, you know, he had a couple of signs of you know, positivity and some skill for sure, but no one thought that he was going to be. He was really kind of just average. Let's face facts. Yeah. Do you think Barrett's that much better than that kid?
I think Barrett's better. I'm not sure how much better. I think Knox is probably a better athlete, but I think Barrett is a better skilled player. I think Barrett can get to his spots and be an effective scorer better than Knox can, and just his overall game, I think, is just better. And if that, to me, the way I look at it, if R.J. Barrett is the consolation prize for the New York Knicks and not getting Zion Williamson, there's a lot worse players that you can wind up with. I think he's going to be a good player in this league. I'm not sold on him as being a future all-star. I think there's potential for that. A lot's going to just depend on the situation that he winds up in and just how much is he willing to put in the work to get better. Because right now, I like a lot of what he does, but I don't love it.
Right.
He's not a no-brainer like a Zion Williamson or guys that we've seen come into the league in recent years who just, you know, there was no question they were going to be, you know, a really big deal. But he's a good player, and I think Fizdale is the right kind of coach for him. But a lot's going to just depend on whether RJ is going to put in the time and work to get better, because right now he's far from being a guy that you can build around. But I do think he's got some skills that translate well at the next level.
I'm with you on a lot of that, most of it, in fact. I will say, because you said at one point, I think, you don't feel him as like an all-star type player.
No, I don't.
Well, then that means is, you know, in Portuguese, where I come from, it means what I said. He's an average player. I think he's a good player, like you do, but if he's not an all-star in the NBA, then you're average. That's all there is to it. So here's the deal. Let me ask you this question. I got 2 minutes, respectfully. Tell me about Kyrie Irving's, like, mental, like, what is his status right now? Because, boy, this guy, he needs a, we need to have, a therapist. We need, because he's never happy. Is he out of Boston?
I think if he had to make the decision right now, he would be out of Boston. I think ultimately, though, over the summer, he's going to look at all the pros and cons of staying in Boston, leaving Boston, and I think he's going to wind up back in Boston. And here's the thing that, you know, we haven't talked a lot about. A lot has been made of his relationship with Kevin Durant and how they're basically a package deal. I would keep a very, very close eye on the Los Angeles Clippers for a couple reasons, winding up with Kevin Durant, and here's why. The series that they gave the Golden State Warriors was so much tougher than I think anyone anticipated, and that is going to resonate with Kevin Durant. When you look at Doc Rivers and his ability to get in that room and convince guys and work his mojo, I think he's going to have a very real shot at landing Kevin Durant. And to me, I worry if I'm the Knicks, I worry about them more than any other team outside of Golden State because of the location, because of the coach that's going to be involved, and because of that front office, how energetic and excited they are about NBA basketball. So I'm not ready to punch KD's ticket to New York just yet.
All right, I got 1 minute. What is the problem with Rozier?
That's a wonderful question. To make a long story short, he did not anticipate his role being as dramatically different this year as it wound up being. He never adjusted to coming off the bench. He never adjusted to playing fewer minutes. And I think the biggest challenge for him was how coming off the bench, he was used to coming off the bench and being the primary ball handler, the playmaker. They gave that job to Gordon Hayward. And that put Terry kind of out in the corner, just basically became a more spot-up shooter. That's not his game. He's not effective that way. And so that's why he's really, you know, he's ready to leave, and understandably so. He just wants to be in a situation, a role that takes advantage of what he does best, and that didn't happen this year.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, killer stuff, Sherrod. Always a pleasure having you on the bench. Great coverage tonight of the lottery with us and talking about the Celtics and Knicks and Lakers. I appreciate you. Great having you back on the bench.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon, my friend.
All right, Sherrod Blakely of NBC Sports Boston with us. Speaking of Boston, the Bruins just won that game 2-1 in Raleigh. They're up 3-0, and that series is now over.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.